I am going to ask Brother Mohsen Naqvi to come and introduce the speaker as well. We have a presentation. Maulana is going to have slides. So if you can come forward, we will get started in just a minute. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Brothers and sisters, I have been called today to give a brief introduction of the leader, the deceased Shaheed leader of the Pakistani Shias, Shaheed Arif Hussain al-Husseini. And I will be introducing the speaker who will come and bless us with his soulful word, with his soulful words on this amazing personality. Shaheed Arif Hussain al-Husseini rose a voice against a taghut, against an oppressor in Pakistan who was killing Shias left, right, and center. When no follower of Ahlul Bayt thought of raising a voice against the taghut, it was Shaheed Arif Hussain al-Husseini, better known as Shaheed Qaid amongst his followers in Pakistan. He was known and called himself the son of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi. It is this individual that is responsible for practically every single organization in Pakistan right now. The thought of a united Shia front in Pakistan was raised by this individual. A loud salawat for Shaheed Arif Hussain al-Husseini, please. Another loud salawat for him, please. Brothers and sisters, Shaheeds always live. They never die because their revolution stays within our hearts. Their efforts always remain within us, within our souls. He is a teacher to all Pakistanis and to all Shias of the world, and was a humble servant of the Ahlul Bayt and a humble follower of the system of Vilayat-e-Faqih. Brothers and sisters, I will not take much of your time, and I would like to give a brief introduction for the speaker who will introduce Shaheed Qaid to us. Sure. Before I introduce the speaker, I would like to invite Brother Saeed to recite a few verses of the Holy Quran. Salawat Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين ألا سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريغ وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سطر مخضود وتلح ممدود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء وجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد
أحسنت برادر can we have a loud salawat for the brother please Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum I would like to kindly invite Sister Maryam to kindly come on the podium and bless us with her poetry. A loud salawat for the sister brothers.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. So this poem per se isn't exactly about Shaheed Arif Husseini. It is about Sipta Jaffer and Dr. Ali Haider. They were martyred in 2013, I believe in the month of March. And so this is a metaphorical poem. I don't use their names exactly, so you have to kind of listen closely and try and interpret it for yourselves. We come from a land where a poet's blood, whose worth is only to the red clay from the soil, whose words brought comfort to the aging and the ill, to the broken and the found. We come from a land where people see what they see, but only what they want to see, and the blind themselves, and blind themselves from the death of the one who helped them see. We cannot sleep, we cannot breathe, when the doctors of sight, breath, and poetry are gunned down in the streets made of clay. In the streets made of clay lay the bodies of the forgotten soldiers whose memories no longer linger in the minds of the people. And soldiers being drivers, cooks, mechanics, poets, doctors, and 11-year-old boys and girls. Boys and girls whose futures could have changed those red clay streets and could have made them into gold. Who could have paved the sight of the future into the hands of the cook, into the eyes of the blind, into the words of the poet. It is in the streets of red clay we see what we want to see, as the hearts of the forgotten soldiers are tended to by the poems of Ustad, and whose eyes are mended by the hands of the doctor. Salawat. Oh.
SubhanAllah, sister. A loud salawat for the sister, please. The martyr might not be with us. Shaheed Qaid might not be with us. But the effects of the voice that he raised against the Taghut Ziaul Haq of that time still lives and shall inshallah never die. I would like to invite Imam Dr. Rasool Naghvi to bless us with his soulful words on Shaheed Qaid. Dr. Imam Naghvi has been studying in Qom since the past 16 years and also teaches over there. He specializes in Islamic jurisprudence, theology, and Arabic. It is truly a blessing to have him today at this conference. He has written three books called Two Rakats Story, Rituals of Praying in 130 Stories, Contemporary Islamic Jurisprudence, and brothers and sisters, this book, which is called Contemporary Islamic Jurisprudence, has been chosen as a textbook at the Islamic Seminary of Qom, which is a huge achievement, I must say. And the last book written by him is called By Gods in Person. It is truly an honor for us to have you amongst us, Agha. And I would like to invite you on that note so you can bless us with your soulful words. Allahu salawat for Agha.
A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. الذي خلق الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته ووتد بالصخور ميدان أرضه ثم الصلاة والسلام على النير الأعظم ونتيجة العالم أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سيما الحجة بقية الله الأعظم روحي وروح العالمين لتراب مقدمه فداء. Dear brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is a blessing to be with all of you tonight, and inshallah share few lessons that we can get from the life of this Shaheed al-Qaid, which is the personality who is a teacher for all of us in all time. The topic and the title that I chose for my talk tonight is End of Our Comfort Zone. And the reason that I chose this is that I truly believe that Shaheed al-Qaid was one of the very rare people who always choose and whose life always starts when they cross their comfort zone. I'm trying to give you a few examples of his life, and inshallah, this would be a lesson for all of us to find what are the borders of our life, what are the borders of the comfort zone that we have it around us, and how we can inshallah cross those borders so we inshallah can start our real life. The reason that I'm choosing this is that as we youth are gathering here, we are always thinking about our future. We are always thinking about how we can define our how and what are the labels that we are putting for ourselves, or what are the labels actually we are choosing for ourselves? How do we want to be called in the future, and what are the titles that we are looking for? So as we are thinking about this, we need to be a good dreamer, someone who is able to see his future or the context of the future of his own society, so he would be a good dreamer and inshallah would struggle to reach and define a deadline for his dream or her dream to be reached inshallah. That's why I chose this topic, and I do believe that Shaheed al-Qaid, Shaheed Allama Arif Hussain Husseini, was one of the best examples who did this for us. Before going to his life, I would like to share for you one hadith from Imam Hassan alayhi salam. If we can go to the next slide, we can see the hadith from Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Recite the salawat for him. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This is a very beautiful hadith, and the implementation of the hadith could be found very beautifully in the life of Shaheed al-Qaid. This hadith is actually a very good way for you guys if you come across many different options and many different futures in your life. Okay? You all are deciding at some point about your future, and there are many different options in front of us. This hadith actually shows which option to go, what should be the policy for thinking about these options that we have in front of us. Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam says it's actually his seerah, something that he was doing in his own life. It says, كان إذا ابتزه أمران لا يدري أيهما أفضل نظر إلى أقربهما إلى الهوى فخالفه. meaning that when he was faced with different options and wanted to decide between those options, and he did not know which one is the better, which option is the better, which future is the better, which way to go, which path is better, more beneficial for his own and his family and his community and his society. So he says, he looked, the hadith says, he looked to find which one is closer to his ego and nafs, which one is more difficult, which one brings more challenge for him, which one like challenges him more or her more, and then he would go with that. He would think which one is easier to reject it, which one is for lazy people, and then he opposed that option and would choose the other one. The exactly things that Imam Shahid al-Qaid was doing in his life. Inshallah, look, I'm in the next slide, I'm telling you we can find many different examples of his life that he did this. Okay, I want to share for you only four examples of his life. And if you didn't study his life, please do so. Let me be honest with you guys. Frankly, I had heard the name of Shahid al-Qaid, but I didn't study his life up until last week, okay? And then I knew that I was not a good speaker to speak about his life, but I decided, you know what? You need to go and study. You need to go and study. And I, alhamdulillah, this was a blessing for me to go and study. And I'll give you a few references to go and study. If you didn't study his life, go and study. And study all of the different successful people, the life, the biography of different successful people that you know it in your life. This is the best way for you to choose your future. Because you see, oh my God, that is mine. This is me. This person reflects me and the things that I'm really interested in. So one of the best way of choosing your future and how you want to label yourself is just studying the life of different people that you think that they are successful. Then you would be able to see which one is mirroring you. So I'll give you a few examples. The first one is just when he chooses to say goodbye from his hometown. As a teenager who lives in Pakistan, okay, with many different things that he can choose, among all of those different things, he says, you know what, I think I know which one is the most difficult one. Well, being a talaba and going to Najaf, it doesn't have dunya at all. It brings all of these difficulties for you to go and study in a completely different culture. Completely different culture. You don't know Arabic and they are teaching Arabic. There, the around you in Pakistan when he was living was his comfort zone. Just as a teenager to be able to cross that zone, to say, you know what? This is the zone that I'm very comfort in it. I want to challenge myself. I want to go out of this zone and then I will find my success. And he did it. He did it. He first went to Najaf. He studied in Najaf again. No, this is Najaf is becoming again my comfort zone. I studied here for a few years. It's enough. This is not going to be home. Again, he moves to Qom. Studies a little bit in Qom for a few years and then goes back. Just in and out of itself, traveling around different countries and being able to see different contexts give you a good insight about your own culture. You guys, when you have a better view of Islam when you are comparing different Muslims around different countries. When you are comparing that the Islam that you see it in Pakistan, Islam that you see it in Malaysia, in Indonesia, in Iraq, in Saudi Arabia, in Turkey, all of these different Islams are different, right? This will give you a better look on how and which Islam you want to follow. Which Islam is the real one that is relevant to this society, that is relevant to this 21st century. This is the first example. The second example is when he started to lead the Tahrik Nahzat-e-Fiqh Ja'fari. And he, after Mufti and Maulana Allama Jafar Hussain in 1984, he could choose the path that other ulama chose. Some of the ulama in the same time, if you studied the history of this movement, if you are familiar with this, with the history of Tahrik Nahzat-e-Fiqh Ja'fari, you know that there is a split after Mufti Allama Ja'far Hussain. When he died, that split happened. Some of the ulama chose that, you know what? I want to go and study, and I want to just teach other people, okay? And then he chose the difficult path. He chose the difficult path of starting this political movement. This is the second example. The third example of his life, when he passed and crossed his comfort zone, happens just few days before his shahada. Few days before his shahada, there are a lot of stories about few days before his shahada. To be honest, some of those stories I'm sure that has been made up. Let's be honest. Some of those stories, if you go, you can be honest with yourself. Some of those stories have been made up. But what is happening? The speech that he has it himself. Those are authentic. Those are authentic. So people are coming to him and telling him, why are you trying to do this trip? Forget about it. This is not safe for you. Stay in your hometown. Why are you going to Peshawar? He again reminds the dream that he had, the vision that he had, what he was looking for his own country, and the pride that he wanted to make for Shiite communities there, and said, you know what? Now, as I see it, I would be, inshallah, beneficial for them. So I go, alhamdulillah, now I will go to Peshawar at all costs. Again, you're telling me, stay here, this is my comfort zone. I don't like the comfort zone. I choose the challenge, it doesn't matter how much it's gonna cost. The last one, that, as I said, you can find a lot of examples, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time just giving you examples of his time, because I wanna come to our time. Let's talk about our time. So then the last time is that when they are asking him about, well, you started this political movement, and now the government is going to impose all of these restrictions for you. What are you going to do now? I'm quoting him. He says, this is a speech that I will tell you the source in the next slide, inshallah. He says, this is the slide of Salawat. It says, we are linked with the people. At the most, they can impose restriction on our holding meetings and gatherings that we have. And of course, if even they do so, the streets are for us. The streets are for us. What would be the difficult challenge for him now? Now, you're not allowing me to have a gathering, I take the people to the street. That's what I can do. So, as I say, like, you can find a lot of different examples that how he is choosing the difficult option, the tough option for whatever he wants to do. If we go to the next slide, we see a follower of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Ammar, is doing the same thing. Recite the salawat. It says, ما خير عمار بين أمرين إلا اختار أشدهما. that Ammar was not put in front of two options unless he chose the most difficult one. So I think this would be a very good way if you're deciding about your future. Well, if you want to do something about your own family, do the most easiest one, right? I'm not talking about the practical things that you want to do it at your home. I'm talking about the path that you want to choose, the policy that you want to choose to challenge yourself, to come out of this comfort zone that you're talking about. Let's go to the next slide. And then the question that we want to ask Imam al-Qaid, Shahid Arif Hussein Husseini is that, okay, we are Shiite Muslims, but how we can be relevant to our society? This is an interview. This is the source that I was talking about that I urge all of you guys to go and study this. This is a very short article. It's around 20 pages. And this is an interview which has been done with Maliha Lohi. I don't know her, but it has been published in this journal, A Third World. And the interview is called Pakistani Shia Movement, an interview with she named it Arif Husseini. And this is a very interesting interview because she is challenging Imam there. She is challenging him there and asking him difficult question. But the answer that he is giving, that Shahid al-Qaid is giving, is very beautiful. She is asking him about how the movement is relevant. Okay? And then he says, we are Shiite Muslims, but we are also Pakistanis. Look at this. This is how he's making this movement relevant. And I need this for my next slide. When we want to make ourselves relevant here in this country, okay? He says, we are Shia Muslim, but we are also Pakistanis. As Pakistani citizens, we cannot remain detached from our country's political and social problems. We therefore decided to struggle. You see, even in his world, he's choosing to go out of his comfort zone. We therefore decided to struggle for the fulfillment of Shia demand and also to take an active part in politics. So this brings us to the conclusion of my talk, which is the last slide that I have it for you. If Shahid al-Qaid was making his movement relevant to his society, my question is how we as Shiite who live in 21st century in America, how we can make ourselves relevant. Let me give you a very short introduction here. So, as I said, Islam has many different faces. Dr. Mahmoud Ayyub, he has a very beautiful book on, the title of the book is Many Faces of Political Islam. Okay, he compares different movements in different countries, different political movements. And the main point there is the context. Why Shahid al-Qaid was different from Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh? Why he was different from our leaders Sheikh Namer in Hijaz? I didn't want to use the word. Anyway, recite the salawat. So if we believe these are different contexts and we are responsible to find our strategy, we need to learn and exactly examine and analyze the context that we are living in 21st century here in America. Look, Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Both of them are infallibles, right? And I'm sure if you exchange them, if you change and put Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in the time of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, he's gonna choose the same path that Imam Husayn alayhi salam did. And if you have Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he is gonna choose the same path that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam did. The only difference between these two are the context. Our problem is that we want to copy and paste whatever we have in the first century Islam right now here in the 15th century Islam. That is not possible. That is not possible without understanding the context. Because it would be very easy to make the mistake and copy and paste the past which is not relevant to us. Which one is more relevant here? Which one is more relevant here? So if we believe that these are different paths, and we also believe that the number of Muslims in Western countries are more than number of Muslims in Iran. This is very interesting, brothers and sisters. Since the migration happens for Shiite communities, wherever country, like whatever country you go, alhamdulillah, you would be able to find very strong Shiite communities. This is something new happening. It's no longer Western countries with no Muslim there to be able. What I'm trying to say here is that the differentiation between West and East, between Western countries and Eastern countries, between Islamic countries and not Islamic countries, these borders are becoming more blurry as ever. Okay? If this is my first introduction. The second one is that the message of Islam is universal. It's not only for Iranian, it's not only for Pakistanis or Indian, is for everyone. It is universal, right? If that is universal, that means we need happiness, tranquility, peace and justice for everyone, including Western countries, including the country that we are living here. Including the country that we are living here. Okay? So, based on this, I have few questions. Based on this, we Shiite, okay, can we Shiite claim partial ownership of the West? Can we Shiite claim partial ownership of the West? If the answer is yes, and based on the two introduction that I told you, the number of Muslims and Shiites who are living in different Western countries, and also the universal message of Islam, if the answer is yes, and we say, yes, we do claim partial ownership of this society, then we need to ask ourselves, what are the rights and responsibilities of a Shiite citizen toward any other world citizens? If we ask this question, we need to know also what are the discriminations that Shiite communities are experiencing in many different countries. In the same interview that I told you, she is asking Shahid al-Qaed, why are you starting this movement? And he says, It is only because the discriminations that I see in this country for against Shiites. The discriminations that he counts it there, he lists four different things there. One of the things that he lists is the education system. The other one is the law for family law. And he mentioned a few different things that in that time, it was discriminations for Shiite communities. So let's count it. Let's count it here. What are the discriminations against Shiite communities now here in this country? Then you would be able to follow Imam and Shahid al-Qaed. If you are not able to count it, you would not be able to gather around it and talk about it and voice it out. The last thing that I want to mention here, and is that, okay, what would be the intention of this reform? That you feel the ownership of, partial ownership of West, partial ownership of Western countries, and you try to do this reform, but what is the intention behind it? Let's be clear about this intention. Because this intention, we don't want Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. The intention here is, this is what I call it, our version of happiness for everyone. The intention here is that is if for here, if our version of happiness for this country might differ from the dominated version and interpretation of happiness, but the dream and the vision is clear. Falah, Rastegari, happiness, tranquility, peace and justice for everyone in this world. This is what we are looking for. If we are not inclusive about the message that we are giving, of course this is not the meaning of the Islam that we are looking for. Reform is necessary, is a necessary step for the betterment of every society. What is the Shiite version of reform for this country? We stand against many foreign policies taken by this establishment, against their operation in Palestine, in Pakistan, in Yemen, in Syria, in Iraq, in many different countries, and here against Islamophobic policies that they have. But at the same time, if we want to claim that we are the followers of Shahid al-Qaid, and Shahid al-Qaid chose this difficult path, if Shahid Arif found his discomfort zone in Shahada, and for us, the gradual Shahada is to be able to dream about the future of our communities here. How we would be relevant to this society exactly like the way that Shahid al-Qaid was relevant to his society. May Allah bless his soul, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have us the best followers of Shahid al-Qaid. Barakat salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I want all of us to recite Dua al-Faraj all together. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma kull waliyyik الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا صلوات.
It's truly a blessing to have Dr. Naghfi amongst us today. I really feel lucky to be in the presence of this speech, and let's hope that Allah can bless all of us to somehow try and come out of our comfort zone. On that note, there is a 5-minute video presentation by the leader of Majlis-e-Wahdatul Muslimin in Pakistan, the leader of that organization, political party, by Allama Raja Nasir Abbas. A loud salawat. A loud salawat, please. As you all must know that Allama Raja Nasir Abbas has been in hunger strike since almost 3 months now. And because of this movement, there has not been a single killing in Pakistan of Shias, which is a huge blessing. Let's pray for his health, and please, let's see what he has to say to us. Loud salawat for Agha Raja Nasir Abbas.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.